2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would please. 2 Timothy 2. We're going to begin together in verse 14. We'll read the even verses together out loud. The odd verses I'll read by myself out loud. And then we'll go all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 26. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's begin together in verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Here we are in 2 Timothy, and I do, if you will, apologize. I was intending on preaching, if you will, this whole message last week, but there was just too much to say. And so we're back here in verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And last week, just to give you a little bit of a refresher, but last week we talked about flee also youthful lusts. As Paul is compiling a success story for Timothy, he's telling him, look, study to show thyself approved. This is verse 15. You need to be this workman, this skillful artificer. You need not to be ashamed because you are serving me. You are working for me. You are following my plan, my groundwork, my blueprint for life. And you're dividing rightly the word of truth. You're cutting it straight. You're not off. Any degrees, and by the way, that thing workman is really talking about someone who carves, does work carvings or things like that. And when you get off a little bit, how many of you have ever tried to build something, right? And you might be on over here, but if your board's not straight or your line's not straight, when you get over here, you're a foot off. You get crooked, you get out of whack. I saw a picture yesterday. It was a picture. It was talking about a piece of artwork that someone had built to prove a point. And it was titled, I think, like the Power of a Book. And they had built a brick wall. How many of you have seen that? You saw this on. Okay, you didn't. Okay, they built a brick wall, but in the middle of the brick wall, they placed just a little book. About, half an inch book, and then they built the bricks around it. And when they built the wall, you see this beautiful wall, and on each side of it is perfect, right? But in the middle where that book was, it's all buckled and it doesn't fit right. Okay, do you see the illustration they're trying to give? Okay, so you understand that when we cut straight, when things are right, we have a sure foundation. We have a sure structure that's able to withstand the storms and the pressures and the trials and the difficulties of life. He says we're supposed to shun or put away from us. We're supposed to avoid profane and vain babblings. because they increase in ungodliness. They eat like a canker. They gobble us up and overthrow our faith. We've got to be careful. He says that some have already had this happen to them, but God knows those that are His, and we know that we are His. Do you understand that? So He says God has accepted us, and those of us that are going to name His name, we must depart from iniquity. He says, in a great house there are vessels of gold and of silver. There are also vessels of wood and earth. Some of these vessels, you may be a golden vessel, you may be a silver vessel, you may be a wood vessel, you may be an earth vessel. Whatever you are for the Lord, be a vessel unto honor, not one unto dishonor. Those that are unto honor are set apart. They have a purpose. They are meat for the Master's use. They are ready to be used. They are easily used. You can just pick them up and use them. And that's what it means to be meat. Are you meat for God? And then are you already ready? I'm probably never going to say the word prepared anymore. I'm going to say already ready. Because are you already ready for God to use you for what He wants? That's what a vessel of honor does. That's how a vessel of honor lives. And then Paul gives the admonition to Timothy. He says, Timothy, you must run away from. You must escape. You must flee from youthful lusts. We talked about this in great detail last week. And as we continue today, I just want to kind of remind us of what lust does within our lives. Why we should flee it. These things are built into us. It's our sin nature. It's our flesh. Our flesh lusts after things. It wants certain things. And I'm going to remind you, the definition for lust is a longing for what is forbidden. Now, as we finish this thought and move on to the next thought, I want to make it clear. You and I do not get to decide what is right and what is wrong. You and I do not get to decide what is acceptable or what is allowed and what is forbidden or unacceptable. God, and I don't know why I have chosen this as God, but this seems to always be God. God is the one that gets to make the definitions. Society doesn't get to define what is allowed and what is forbidden. Because guess what? Society says everything is allowed. Right? You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You can behave however you want to behave. And in society, that is acceptable. What is it that they're telling? If you're not accepting of these things, you're a hate criminal, right? Okay. I guess if that's your definition, then I guess I am. Because God says that He hates sin. And God is the one that I'm going to side with. I'm going to take God's side. And I'm going to say, God, your definitions are my definitions. And your ways are my... God, so if God says that these things that the world is accepting are okay, I'm going to stick with God and He says they're not okay. Hey, did you know that sin is sin and it's not okay to God? It doesn't matter if it's lying. It doesn't matter if it's stealing. It doesn't matter if it's some kind of sexual sin. There are all kinds of those I could list. And by the way, you realize it doesn't matter which one it is. They're all bad. Hey, Jesus even upped the ante, and I hate to use a term like that, but He made it even more significant because He said, ye have heard it said in old time, right? Thou shalt not kill. And He said, I say unto you, what? If you hate your brother, you've already killed him. He said, you've heard it said of old time that You're not supposed to commit adultery. He said, but I say unto you, if you've lusted in your heart, you've already done it. Do you understand? So we've got to realize that these youthful lusts in us, they are present. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to, let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Oh, I read that one last week. Okay, hold on. Let's go to Galatians 5. I didn't get to read that one last week. I marked these off. I missed my little mark there. Galatians 5. Go to Galatians 5. I read some of these to you last week, but I want to emphasize what we're supposed to run away from, what we're supposed to flee, and so that we can know what to go to. You realize that if you just run away, you're not going to have any kind of direction. But if you run away from something unto something else, you have direction. Okay? So, here, I'll give you, I'll let you get to Galatians 5. I think I've told you the story before, but many of you know I was in the military. Okay? I went to boot camp, and thankfully I grew up in a Christian home, so I was free from a lot of vices, if you will, that most people that join the military are hindered by. Okay? I had no desire to chew on a campfire. Now, I love campfires. I like to cook over campfires, if you will. But I had no desire to put one in my mouth. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Smoking, right? And I don't care what it is. If it's pipes, cigars, cigarettes, weed, you know, I don't care what it is. Don't smoke it. You shouldn't smoke things. That's just not. And the only thing you should smoke is meat. All right? Now, if I could figure out a way how to put a pig in my mouth and light it on fire and suck in on it, I mean, I guess that'll work, but I'm just teasing, okay? Brother Larry's here. I gotta try your barrel smoker. He's got this barrel smoker. I gotta give that a try. But, that's the kind of smoking I'm for, okay? And I'll even do it for 12 hours at a time, you know? Nonstop. They call that chain smoking, okay? But, okay, come on, a little humor here, it's alright. But you know what, there were guys in the military that was their habit. And while we were in boot camp, there was none of that. There was no alcohol, there was no cigarettes, there was no outside anything, there wasn't even any junk food. Maybe once in a while, and here's what I don't understand. They actually had a soda machine in the break room, in the barracks, but we never got to go there. I don't understand that. Why even have it there? But we can't go there. But anyways, that's another story. But anyhow, there's nothing. No outside influences. So when we graduated, it was amazing to me that for 8 weeks, these guys couldn't have any of these vices. And the day we got out, they would go to the NEX, to the exchange, and they would buy a pack of cigarettes and light up again. Can I tell you, in a medical sense, the addiction was gone. The addiction to nicotine, it doesn't last that long, okay? Several weeks and you can break the habit. But there was something in their mind that they wanted to, they were drawn back to it. And I asked the guy, one of my friends, I said, look, why are you doing this? He goes, I gotta have something to do with my hands. I'm like, well, flip a pencil then or something. I mean, why go back to smoking? But do you understand? These are things that draw us back. So if we don't replace the old with something new, we'll go back to it. So we need to know what the old is that we need to run away from. But then we're going to study the thing that we're supposed to run to. We're supposed to follow after. So you're there in Galatians. Look what it says in verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as we talk about pursuing, pressing toward, or going unto something, we need to learn that walking in the Spirit is where we're needing to go when we flee the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. God says that we need to run away from those things unto the spiritual things. Let's look on in Galatians 5. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, let me just say something to you by way of definition. Okay? The simple definition of the word lust is longing for what is forbidden. So let me clarify. Alright? When Paul says this to the Galatians, he says the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So what is the controlling body in this sentence? The spirit. Okay? The spirit is saying, flesh, what you want is forbidden. So the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So the spirit says that is forbidden. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, they're of the world, right? You understand that that is forbidden if we're spiritual. And then he says that the spirit lusteth against the flesh. So what does that mean? The flesh is now defining these things are okay, or if you will, the things of God are forbidden. So don't serve God, don't follow righteousness, don't follow charity, don't follow patience, don't follow faith. He says, the Spirit says those things are forbidden, and you shouldn't want to do them, lust after them. And then the Spirit says, those things are forbidden, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all those things that he says, and the Spirit says, don't do them, and you want to do them. You see the two different things. So it depends on who's saying what is forbidden. By the way, should we follow what the world says is forbidden? Or should we follow what God says is forbidden? You see, today the world says, you can't discriminate. The world says, you can't tell people that what they're doing is sin. God says that we should. The Bible says, the world says, you have to be tolerable to people's views. No, I don't. You know, the amazing thing is these people, they say they want equal rights. How many of you heard that before, right? We just want to, you know, if that's what they wanted, I actually wouldn't deny them that because they have the right to choose. You understand that? But here's what they really want. They want me to accept what they're doing. I don't have to do that. Because you know what? They're not accepting what I'm doing. They don't really want equality. They want conformity. They want me to conform to the things that they think are true. And I don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. We can stand up and say, that's wrong, this is right. And we have to understand that we need to follow after the things of God. So we've very successfully defined what these lusts are. By the way, Paul goes on to say, the works of the flesh are manifest. So these are the things that the Spirit says are wrong. Okay? That these are lusts, these are forbidden. Adultery is wrong. It's forbidden. Fornication is forbidden. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things are sexual type sins. Can I tell you something? That is, in God's definition, that particular physical pleasure is only for the marriage. Can everybody okay with that? I'm trying to be very careful. I know we have teenagers in here. But do you understand? That's only in the bounds of marriage. If it's outside of the bounds of marriage, it's forbidden. It's wrong. And I don't care who it is. I don't care how they do it. I don't care, if you will, if it's a man and a woman, a man and a man, a woman and a woman. I don't care what variety it is. It's sin. It's wrong. And here's the thing. People want to get off on the LGBTQ, RSTUV, WXYZ people. Okay, I call them the alphabet people. People want to just go off on the alphabet people, but listen. An outside of marriage relationship between a man and a woman is just as wrong. Why is that one any more okay? It's not. He says all of these things are the works of the flesh. They're forbidden by the Spirit. Hey, guess what? Idolatry. Idol worship. You say, Pastor, we're in 2025. We don't bow ourselves down to little statues. No. Oh, blast it. I don't even have it with me. You know, some people worship that cell phone that you've got. You know why? Because in front of their face all the time. Right? Hey. Oh, you know what? I think I gave up. Sebastian, I gave you all my money. Sebastian has my money. It's not, well, it's his money now, but. Yeah. I have a check here. That's mine. It's got my name on it. Some people worship this stuff. They do. Hey, some people worship their careers. Some people worship entertainment. Some people worship fashion. Some people worship different things. Folks, it doesn't have to be a little statue. America is steeped in idolatry, folks. Steeped in it. Hey, can I tell you that? Christians are steeped in idolatry. Idolatry is forbidden. Witchcraft is forbidden. Did you know that? Yeah. Hatred is forbidden. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are all social type things that come into our lives. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He says, of which I told you, I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now folks, listen to me. He says, flee also youthful lusts. Look at verse 22, Galatians 5. He says, but follow, well, I'll get to chapter 20, or verse 22 in just a moment. Back to our text, just think about it. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Okay, so he says, the Spirit says, all the things of the flesh are forbidden. Do not want and long for what the world has. He says, but follow, and the word follow means to pursue or press toward. So as we're running away from the evil, we should be running toward the right. So we're running away from the world. We're running away from the lusts or the forbidden things of the world. A longing and a wanting of the things that are forbidden toward the things that are right. Righteous is a very simple word. It just means that which is right. What does God say is right? Lots of things, right? And if we're going to talk about the Spirit, let's look at it. Look at verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit. So the things that the Spirit produces, the things in our lives that are produced by the Spirit of God, which, by the way, the world says that's forbidden. The world says don't lust after the things of God. Don't go after the things that God wants, because to us, those things are forbidden. Do you understand that? That's the viewpoint. He says you need to pursue love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such, there is no law. What are you longing for? Do you long for joy? Do you long for peace? Do you long for love? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Do you long for righteousness? Do you long for faith? Do you long for charity and peace? Back in 1 Timothy chapter 6, remember that Paul was telling Timothy, he told him about this subject, and I got to find it because it's on my paper here somewhere. There it is. He says that we're supposed to follow these things, and we're supposed to have them in our lives. We're supposed to lay hold on eternal life, fight the good fight of faith, make a good profession. There it is. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. All of these things are things that we're supposed to pursue. So as we're running away from evil, we're running away from idolatry and sin and all the different things of this world that the Spirit says that's forbidden, we're supposed to be running to the things that the world says are forbidden. The things of God. We need to make the choice to follow after God. In Psalm 94, David says, but judgment shall return unto the righteous. I'm sorry, but judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. What was said about Job? That he was a perfect and upright man. If you're upright in heart, you'll follow after righteousness. You'll follow after faith. You'll follow after charity. You'll follow after meekness. You'll follow after the Spirit. You'll walk in the Spirit, and you'll not walk in the flesh. You will not, if you are upright in heart, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Hebrews 13, Paul, or the author, many believe to be Paul, writes and says this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So when we talk about this subject, and we listen to what Paul is really telling Timothy, he says, look, who is the ruler of your life? Are you going to listen to what the world says is forbidden? Or are you going to listen to what God says is forbidden? And are you going to flee to that and run to the other? Or are you going to flee to what they say and run to the other? You can't serve two masters. I hope you're putting together the dots here in our picture. God says we need to be controlled by God and the definitions of God and the Word of God. And that's how our thinking needs to be twisted toward, if you will, or set toward, because otherwise it's going to revert to its default. And the default says that the things of God are wrong and the things of the world are right. And we've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so that we know that the things that God says are right and the things that the world says are wrong. It's a transformation. Remember Romans 12? And that's what has to be done in our lives. Folks, in our natural state, we are told and taught that the things of God are nonsense. They're foolishness. It's the wrong way to think. It's the wrong way to behave. It's the wrong way to act. And we've got to say no! No, it's the right way to behave. It's the right way to act. God is right. You're wrong. That's what it means to flee also youthful lusts and follow after righteousness. As we conclude this morning, yes, I just said that, didn't I?
Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me read to you Philippians chapter 3. It says, not as though as I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we went over this 2 years ago, okay? But let me just describe that to you. He said, look, I have been captured by God. You see that? He said, you can't see it because you're not looking at it. You're just hearing it. He says, that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, Christ has captured my thoughts. He's captured me. And I think like him, and I understand. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers of me, together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. What do they walk? They're fleeing youthful lust, and they are following after righteousness. Can I tell you something, folks? That's not normal. That's not what we're built to do. It's what we're born again to do. The old flesh is built to walk away from righteousness and walk toward sin. But God wants us to be built to walk away from sin toward righteousness. It's a different perspective. Are you there in James 3? Look at verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Question mark, right? He's asking a question. Who is this wise man? Who is the one with that has the knowledge, that possesses the knowledge among you? He says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So he says, the one that is wise will show that he's wise. The one that is a Christian will manifest that he's a Christian. Let's go back to our text in our minds. Study to show, manifest. We're supposed to labor, be diligent, endeavor, have earnest to manifest some things. So he says, if you're wise, if you're endued with knowledge, you will manifest his works with meekness of wisdom. Look at this. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He said, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. By the way, what are the good fruits? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all that stuff, right? But, good fruits without partiality, without hypocrisy. He says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Now, go back to our text. 2 Timothy 2. He says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Very quickly, just flip back two pages. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and look at verse 12. I'm sorry, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, that's all the things of the flesh, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. By the way, in both verses, do you see here that there are them that call out of the Lord, call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And here in verse 12 it says, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Folks that follow after these things are vocal about it. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus says that let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have an obligation to manifest righteousness in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The things of God in our lives. In Philippians 4, I just have thoughts bombarding me. Jesus Christ is supposed to shine in us. And if we're running away from evil and running toward righteousness, it will shine in us. Everyone will be able to see what we're after because we have direction. Remember that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Reckon your life. He says, mold yourself, shape yourself after the things that are righteousness. And that's what it means to get away from or escape the world and follow Christ. Are we not told to be conformed to the image of His dear Son? Are we not told in Romans chapter 12 that we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That's our obligation as a Christian. So how are we doing today? Are we fleeing youthful lusts? That's great. But we need to flee and follow. Don't just run away from the things of this world. By the way, I do recommend that you do that. But also follow. You've got to replace that which you're leaving behind with something else. And it needs to be the things that God says we should have.